right, let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. And you can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter number 28. Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 28 this morning, okay? Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 28 in the Word of God. Good to be saved today, isn't it? Be in the Lord's house, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm able to get here. I'm glad God gave me the grace to get out of the bed this morning, tie my shoes, amen, and come to the house of God. And, there may come a day when we can't get here, but while we can, we better make do of it. I'll guarantee you, better make the best of it while the Lord gives us the ability to do it. All right. Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 28, and I want to begin reading to you this morning in verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. That is the sepulcher where the Lord Jesus was buried, the tomb, the grave that he was placed in for 3 days and three nights following his crucifixion. And verse 2 says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before them into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Now let's bow our heads and hearts together, ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege we have to be in the Lord's house on this Resurrection Sunday. I want to thank you today that you got up out of the grave, Lord, and you're at the right hand of the Father at the present moment to divinely intercede for us as your child. Thank you, Lord, that we have a Spirit of God that lives within us, that when we're unable to pray, that he maketh utterings for us. Because he knows what the mind and the will of the Lord is. We thank you for the Bible, the King James 1611 Bible, that you've given us, Lord, as your word with all, full of the promises of God. Thank you this morning now for your people. I pray for those that are lost and without God that you'd deliver them from the bondage of sin and from the fetters of sin. May they enjoy the freedom of being saved by the grace of God. Help those, Lord, today that are sick, those that are in hospitals, those, Lord, that are facing trials and tribulations of life. Pray for those that have needs in their own families, problems with families. I pray for them. Ask you, God, to help people make right decisions today, decisions that will bring glory and honor to your wonderful name. I do pray now that you'd touch me and help me this morning. Make me a blessing to your people. That's why I'm here. I want to be a blessing today, a strength and encouragement to them. And give us that divine help and power that we need, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, verse number 6 says, that angel of the Lord speaking that came and rolled away the stone from the sepulcher, where our Lord had been laid for 3 days and three nights following his crucifixion. And of course, Mary Magdalene, and the Bible said, and that other Mary came under the sepulcher early in that morning, and finding the stone rolled away. There's no doubt that they marveled about that. And they saw that angel whose countenance was like lightning and his raiment as white as snow. And he gave them some good assurance. He said, "Fear not ye." For he said, "I know why you're here." He said, "You've come to seek the Lord and whom they crucified." He made sure he let them know that the Lord had died. You know, a lot of people think that he just swooned upon the cross and never did really die. and later on got out of the grave. Well, I want to say that makes it clear that he was crucified. He died on Calvary. But 3 days later, as the angel announces here to Mary Magdalene and that other Mary, he is not here. He's not in that tomb. He's not in that grave. For he is risen, and here's the blessedness of it. He is risen as he said. He told them that he'd get up out of the grave. He is not here. He is risen as he said. And then they told him, come and see where the Lord lay. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I am. But the argument that I want to make this morning from the Word of God is this, that the Lord had a bodily resurrection. It was not a spiritual resurrection, a soul resurrection. It was a bodily resurrection from the grave. And that's the argument that I'll be making primarily this morning when I get there, if I ever get there. But I want to preach on this main thought this morning. This little old simple thought that God gave me is, I'm going to get up. I am going to get up. And I'm glad that I'm going to get up, and I know I'm going to get up because He got up. And we can rejoice in that today. That the tomb did not hold Him prey, and it will not hold you and I. The grave cannot hold us down. This body shall be raised someday incorruptible. For this mortal shall put on immortality, and death shall be swallowed up in life. And as the Lord got up out of the grave, you and I will get up out of the grave also. Brother Steve made mention this morning in Sunday school that the Lord came and took upon Himself the likeness of men. He was made like us willingly. We ought to willingly be made like Him. Amen. And one of those ways of being made like Him is that we're going to get out of the grave. And not only get out of the grave, but we're going to have the same body, a glorified body, as the Lord had. I don't want to get ahead of myself again, but I am. God is not going to give us a different body. When the angel said, come and see where the Lord lay, His body was gone. That body that He lived in, those 33 and a half years, or 33 and a third years, whatever it was, that body was glorified, and that body was caught up into heaven. He arose from the grave in that glorified body. And although we're going to have a new body, it's not going to be another body. It's going to be this body, changed and glorified. What a wonderful thought that is to know that we're going to get up. And I'll make some application to that in just a minute. But I want to say a few things first. I got to say these few things. You know how Brother Hall is. I've got to preach a little while. Amen. And say a few things. But you know, as the Lord's Day, as this day, being Easter Sunday morning, I begin to look forward to it and look at what I was going to preach on for today. And I looked through the Scriptures, and I kind of made a comparison of the way that we preach today, the message that we declare today, and the message that the early apostles preached in the early days after Christ arose from the grave. The disciples, when they, in those early days, they primarily just took a text in the place of worship where they were, and they preached what was upon their heart. I'm telling you, the amazing thing that I found out as I went through the book of Acts and through the Scriptures was not so much the text that they took, and I could say it was the text that they took, but it was the subject that they preached upon. And it's not one that's touched upon much by preachers today. We think it's wonderful to take a verse of Scripture and expound upon that verse of Scripture. And it is wonderful to do that. But if you go through the book of Acts and through the church epistles, you're going to find that the main subject of those writings are, those books are, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection from the dead. Get this now. The resurrection from the dead of the Lord Jesus, and consequently, the resurrection of you and I. Amen. A bodily resurrection, not a soul resurrection. I won't say this. I do not believe in soul sleep. There are those that believe when a man dies or a woman dies that their soul goes to sleep. Wrong. The soul goes back to be with God, but this body is laid in the grave. And it may turn back to dust. But I won't say this, that the Holy Ghost of God that dwelt in this body has marked that grave. And I'm telling you, of every child of God that's ever died, He's sitting right there on the headstone of their grave, just waiting for that morning when Christ will sound the trumpet and they'll behold that body up out of the grave, and Christ will glorify that body, and us that are alive and remaining will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and then we'll all be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. What a wonderful day that is going to be. I know that's right. Now, I've got some proof text on that. When Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, his message was this. This Jesus hath God raised up where we are all witnesses of that. In other words, they said, we have seen His resurrected body. And by the way, it took that to be an apostle. You had to be an eyewitness of His resurrection. And these men were. These men were. Now I'm going to tell you, when Peter began to preach on the resurrection of Christ, that crowd he was preaching to had a problem with that. For they knew that if they bowed in submission to the Lord Jesus, knowing that they crucified Him and that He got up out of the grave, somewhere down the line they were going to have to give an account to God for their sin and their rejection and their rebellion against Him when He died on the cross of Calvary to save them. Now I want to say something to you, friend. If you've heard the gospel and know the truth about your soul and the Word of God, there's coming a day when you're going to have to stand before God and give an account of the works, get this now, of the works done in your body. What the Bible says. Amen. So Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost. I don't want to tarry long on these. I will be here a long time. But you know, when Peter and John were taken before the council and the rulers were grieved, the Bible said they were grieved in their spirit. And the reason they were is because they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Notice they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody going to get up out of the grave saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that through Him, we can preach the resurrection of the dead. I can preach to you this morning and tell you that if you're saved by the grace of God, because He got up, you're going to get up also. I'm glad I can say today, praise God, I'm going to get up. There ain't no grave going to hold this body down. I'm going to get up. Now I'm going to get up because He got up. Now I'm going to live because He lives. Now I'm going to live where He lives. Amen. Now I'm going to live where He lives for all time and eternity because He got up out of the grave. Amen. I don't believe in this purgatory and soul sleep and all that mess. Amen. Now I want to say thirdly, in Acts 4:33, the Bible said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. They had great power and they had great grace. Why? Because they preached the resurrection of Christ. I'm afraid we're missing the boat today. Praise God, there's a lot in that Bible to cover. But I'm going to tell you, I personally believe a preacher should never leave the pulpit without somehow making his way to Calvary and there, amen, preaching to people the gospel of Christ, the fact that He died on Calvary, took your sins to the cross with Him, and died upon the cross, amen, being forsaken of mankind, forsaken of God the Father, and died alone on Calvary with your sins and my sins, and carried to a tomb, but thank God, 3 days later, just like He said, like the angel said, He got up out of that tomb, amen,
and he's alive. Hey, he was dead and he's alive forevermore, the Bible says.
Amen. That's what it said in the book of Revelation. It said, I am he that was alive and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And hey, it wasn't his spirit that died. It was his body that died. Praise God, if you're saved today, your spirit will never die. It's alive forevermore. But this old body's going to the grave, ladies and gentlemen. Mark her down. Hallelujah. But it'll get up. Amen. They had great power and great grace. I wonder if we'd have a little more power and a little more grace if we'd preach and teach a little bit more on the resurrection. I'm going to tell you, when you start telling people that Jesus got up out of the grave, now I've said this once, but I won't say it again, it places a thought within their heart that someday they're going to have to face Him. And they're going to have to answer for the deeds done in their body.
Amen.
Oh, yes, and I'm telling you, He's keeping a good account of it, too.
Amen.
He's writing her down, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. The books shall be open. Amen. And the book will be open. And men will be judged according out of those books. And I'm telling you, He's keeping a good account. He's keeping a good account. That's right. Thank God. And I'm telling you, people don't like to be confronted with that. I'm going to tell you what they don't like to be confronted with. So people don't like to be confronted with hell. Amen. But I'm telling you, a soul dies without Christ. They're going to hell. And get this now. They're not just going there in spirit. They're going in body, soul, and spirit. Going to hell. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, I don't believe the body will be there. Oh, yes, it will. It's going to be unjust. We'll be resurrected. And amen. And it's not a matter of being judged for their salvation. That body, that soul, and that spirit of a lost man will spend eternity in hell in torment. Amen. That's right. Now stay right with me. When Paul preached on Mars Hill, here's what they said about him. They said, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. Strange gods. Well, what made him a setter forth of strange gods? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. That's what got them. Jesus and the resurrection. The Bible said some mocked. Some believed. Then it said, and some said, we'll hear him another time. For he seemed to be a setter forth of some strange gods. Because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. You know why? Every God that they had ever studied about never got up out of the grave. But I'm going to tell you, here's a God that Paul is preaching and not only died on Calvary, but got up out of the grave, thank God. They were amazed at that. They marveled at that. And some thought it's so incredible that they mocked over the fact that Christ got up out of the grave. Now I'm telling you, there's mockers and scoffers today, but I want to tell you their day is a coming, praise God. Every puppy has his day and every doggy has his way. And their day is a coming, ladies and gentlemen. He got up out of the grave. Hallelujah to God. Yes, he did. Oh, I'd be careful mocking at that if I were you. Amen, that's right. Now, listen carefully. When Paul stood before the council of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, his defense was concerning the resurrection of the dead. He said, I'm called into question. He wasn't called into the council because of the clothes he wore. He wasn't called in because of necessarily the life that he lived outside the synagogue. But he was called in because of what he preached.
Right.
Amen. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, neither one could handle the fact that Paul preached the resurrection of the dead.
Right.
Amen. Especially in Jesus. The Pharisees couldn't handle that. But when Paul stood in their midst, cried out and said, men and brethren, he said, I'm a Pharisee and a Pharisee. And the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't. There's a whole lot of Sadducees running around all over the country today. Amen. I heard read on the news yesterday where the governor of Arkansas tried to make May the 5th National Prayer Day in Arkansas. Would you believe an atheist group out there somewhere has done risen up and filed a lawsuit against that? You know, I've got to, here's my thought about that.
Now, I don't know if anybody's ever thought about that or not. If they're atheists, they believe what they say they believe. They don't believe in God. They don't believe Christ got up out of the grave. If they're atheists, they don't believe in none of that. So what is their problem with us preaching Christ and the resurrection? If they don't believe in God, then certainly what we're saying is not going to affect nobody according to them. So what's their problem with it? I thought about that. Somebody answer that for me. If they truly do not believe in God, then why are they making such a fuss? I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Them egg suckers know better than that.
Amen.
They're reprobates. Dying and they're all reprobates. I said it, they're a bunch of reprobates. And they're going to hell if they don't want anybody telling them that there's a God in glory that they're going to stand before someday. A God that was crucified, died, but thank God 3 days later, He got up out of the grave and He's got the keys of hell and death about His girdle. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God. Now, that's right. Now, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then is our preaching vain and your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. That's right. If Christ didn't get up, I'm not making a fool of myself up here this morning. It's all vain. It's vanity. Just well go home. And your faith, what you believe is vain too. Unless he got out of the grave. Oh, I'm glad. Don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful for Calvary. Thank God that the Son of God went there and suffered for you and I. Shed his precious blood. Bore our sins in His own body upon the tree. Carried that cross every step of the way up Calvary's mountain. Was judged by Pilate and beaten by those Roman soldiers. Crowned with a crown of thorns and blood trickled down His face and blood ran down His legs and down His shoulders and down His back. His visage was marred and no man could recognize who He was. His visage was marred as no other man had ever been. Even His own mom, if she hadn't known it was Him, she wouldn't have known Him. He was marred so bad. He suffered all that for you and I. And I marvel at that. I marvel at that, but may I say, it would have all been vain had He not got up. If He hadn't got out of the grave, Calvary would have been in vain, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, hey, getting out of the grave, the resurrection is part of the gospel. That Christ came, that He died according to the Scriptures, and on the third day He arose according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah. They bear the fact that He got up. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, what about, I want to mention a few things about the resurrection of the just. You do believe in the resurrection of the just, don't you? That's right. Just three or four little things. Abraham, he must have believed in the resurrection of the body. He had to. For the Bible said, Hebrews 11:10, when he had taken Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, the Bible said that he accounted that God was able to raise up Isaac from the dead.
Amen.
From whence he also received him in a figure. What I'm trying to say is that Abraham, when he took Isaac upon that hill, upon Mount Moriah, he had enough faith in God to believe that even if God let Isaac die on that mountain, that God had the power, it said, to raise him up again. Not another Isaac, not another body, not another face, but another Isaac. So I had somebody ask me one time, said, do you think we'll know each other in heaven? Well, praise God, I'm going to look like me.
Amen.
My wife's going to look like my wife. Why shouldn't we know each other?
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. Oh, hey, Christ's body was the same body that went in the grave, except it was glorified. Hey, there's different kinds of flesh. Flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But he had a body, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That did enter into heaven. We want that same kind of a body. Glorified. Better believe we'll know one another. Abraham believed in that resurrection of the dead. Job, having his faith tried like no other man.
And he made this statement in Job 19, 25 and 26. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Do you know that this morning? Do you know that your Redeemer liveth? Oh, redeemed, oh, how I love you. Pardon me.
Amen.
Redeemed, oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I'll get it, Brother Robert. I forgot about that thing. Amen. I forgot about that thing.
That's right. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. A child and forever I am.
Amen.
No, Job said, "Hey, I know my Redeemer liveth." Amen. He did not know and knew He liveth, but guess here's what he said. He said, "In that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Ladies and gentlemen, that tells me that Job had enough faith to believe that if he died and they put him in a grave and the skin worms totally devoured his body and his old body went back to the dust and there was nothing left but a pile of dust, that yet in his flesh... Oh, somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" We're not dealing with finite man. We're dealing with an infinite God. If God made man once out of the dust of the earth, what makes you and I think that He can't take the dust, amen, that rots from our body, old decrepit, corrupt body, and make us again out of it? Amen. Somebody said, "He don't know where we're at. You're a fool." Praise God. He knows where every particle, may I say, He knows where every atom in your body is at. And I ain't talking about ADAM, I'm talking about ATOM. Is that? That's His wonderful name. That's right. Listen to what Daniel said. Daniel said in Daniel 12:2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt." That's the just and the unjust. But they that sleep in the dust shall awake. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:19. He said, "Thy dead men shall live." Woo! "Thy dead men shall live."
Amen.
That's right. "Together with my dead body shall they arise." Can you get a hold of that? Can you get a hold of that? Christ said, the Bible said, that thy dead men shall live, and they will live together with my dead body shall they arise. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, you're way off in left field." No, I'm not. You hear me what I'm saying? He is the head and we're the body. Now I'm telling you, as long as the head's alive, the body ain't got nothing to worry about. How can you lose your salvation when the body's attached to the head? And because the head is alive, the body's going to be alive also. Now some of y'all let that slide right over the top of your head. But we forget that we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh.
Amen.
Amen. We're just not spiritually in Christ. We're bodily in Christ. Amen. And our old dead bodies are going to get up.
Amen.
With His body. Somebody said He's already got up. Yeah, it is.
Amen.
But I'm just telling you what He's saying. When He got up out of the ground... Some of y'all don't believe in the sovereignty of God. I've got news for you. When He died on the cross, you're saved, you died on the cross also. When He arose 3 days later, got up. Amen, you got up also. Amen to God. Somebody said, "How can that be? I don't know. Ask Him when you get up there."
Amen.
But I know that to be a fact. We've been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ.
Yep.
We're already there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
God have mercy on them Armenians.
Amen.
We're already there.
Amen.
In the mind of Christ, we're already there.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, what if He messes up on that?"
Praise
God foreordained before the foundation of the world, before there ever was a world. That Christ should die for the ungodly. Before there ever was anything. And He brought it to pass. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, God's God. Come on now. God's God. Give Him the glory. Give God the glory. He's God, ladies and gentlemen. And He does what He wills and wills what He does. And man cannot change that fact. That's right. If He said we're seated at the right hand, we're there.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Old Isaiah said, the dead shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Then He said, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Ye that are in the grave, sing a little while. Up from the grave I rose with a mighty triumph. That's right, ye that are in the dust, sing. Sing. Somebody said, how can we sing? I don't know how, but I believe somehow we're going to be singing. Somebody said, how do you know? Because the Bible said so. Somebody said, you're a heretic. Well, you call me whatever you want to. Miss Hall calls me to the dinner table. That's all I care about. You call me what you want, but I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Isaiah said, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust.
Amen.
For thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it will someday. There's coming a day when Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel, and the very earth itself shall say, get out of here! Get up and get out of here! Somebody said, how can that be? Because from the dust of the earth we're made! Amen! And our mother, oh, I just thought of that. Our mother will say, get up and get out of here!
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost will say, amen, get up.
Amen.
I'm going to get up.
Amen.
I'm going to get up.
Yeah.
Now, my argument this morning, like I said, is the resurrection of the body. Because the resurrection deals not with the soul of man, but with the body. Because there are many today that believe not in the bodily resurrection of Christ, nor the saved either. Oh, He got up in spirit. The body was stolen away. Would you believe that the Jews believed that? Because those guards were given money and said, now when they come, said, you tell them that somebody come in tonight and stole Him away while you slept, and said, we'll take care of you, we'll protect. And they did. And the Jews, that saying goes on with the Jews today, that somebody come and stole away His body.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you who stole away His body. He did.
Amen.
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 On that third and appointed day, and I don't know what time it was, from 6 o'clock that evening on the Sabbath to early the next morning, sometime between there, and I have no earthly idea what time it was, but He lay there on that cold slab inside that tomb, and He said within Himself, get up!
Amen.
And He got up! He said, I have the power, come on now, to lay my life down! And He said, bless you, the Lord, I've also got the power over here to take it up again! Amen. And He did take her up again. When it come that appointed time, no man, no body, no one, no angel, amen, had to say it's time for you to get up. He said within Himself, with His own power, by His own omniscience, get up! And get up He did. Now I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day that I'm going to get up too. Thank be unto God. I'm going to... Amen. This old body that you're looking at right now, as decrepit as it is, you're going to get up someday with a big smile. I won't frown on you then, Miss Sharon. Amen. I won't be poker faced then, boy. I have a smile on my face no man can take away from me. Because I'll have everlasting joy down in my soul. Thank God. I've got joy in my heart now. But I'll have everlasting joy in my soul that morning when I get up out of the grave. Amen. Thank God. Now, Christ's people. Christ's people are not only one with Him in spirit, but we're one flesh also. For the flesh of man is united to the flesh of God-man.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, you can believe it whatever you want to believe. Our bodies are members. The Bible says that. Our bodies are members of Jesus Christ. The book says that. That our bodies are members of Jesus Christ. Amen. That means there's got to be a bond somewhere. An attachment somewhere. Can I tell you where that attachment is? And who that bond is? It's the Holy Ghost! Amen. We're bonded together, body, soul, and spirit by the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
the darling Son of God. Amen. We're one with Him.
Yes,
now somebody needs to get a hold of what I just said.
Yes,
who shoveled it backwards? We're one with Him.
Amen.
He is in us, the Bible said. And we are in Him. That makes us one together.
That's right.
That says one. Well, I see that's going over big. While the head lives, the body cannot die. What? Know ye not, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
The temple of the Holy Ghost is just as eternal as the Holy Ghost Himself. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's just as eternal, Brother Hereford, as the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about this body. I ain't talking about another one. I'm talking about this one just glorified. Woo! Or it'll be a little different. I don't think there'll be a ruffled up place in the cemetery when we get up. I don't believe there'll be a clod broken. We just come up through the casket lid. We're in a vault. We'll come through that vault, through the earth, and come on out.
Amen.
Just like Jesus come through the door in the upper room and just walked through it while it was closed.
Amen.
Won't that be? Somebody said, how can that be our body? Don't ask me, ask Him. I'm just preaching.
Amen.
Like I know it is.
Right.
The truth of it.
Amen.
Oh yeah, what a body. Amen. Now, my second argument is the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:16 said, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And Matthew 28:6, I'll quote it again. He is not here. He is not. The man you are looking for. Not some stranger, not somebody you don't. He is not here. Well, where's he at? Hey, he's not among the dead. Boy, if my glasses are coming tomorrow, I'd just throw these away right now. Amen to God. He is not among the dead. He's among the living. Whoa, thank God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I could run my head through a wall. You're looking at a man this morning that's not among the dead. I'm among the living. Hallelujah. I'm alive and I'm just like Him. I'm alive forevermore. Glory to God. Amen. Though the skin worms in my body devour this body of mine, I know that in my flesh I'll see Him someday. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm going to get up. 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 I'm going to get up.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. What about this resurrection? What makes it so important for you and I? God gave me this thought this morning. Just this morning. Not yet, but it was just this morning. There's comfort. If we believe in a bodily resurrection, there is comfort at the death of a loved one.
Amen.
It's joy to know that the body that sleeps in the dust shall live again. Now here's the thought that God gave me this morning. I want everybody to get this. Get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. When someone dies, or when it comes time for you to die or me to die, there's two things in our life, and that's all. That's it. We've got memories of the past. That's all. When you're on your deathbed, I'm just telling you that is all you have behind you. Buddy, that's it. Memories. You better make sweet memories today, families.
Oh, yeah, you better make some good ones now, because when you're laying on that deathbed, that's all you're going to have to look back to is the memories of your life.
I sat over there this morning. I looked at them two little kids that have been in. I came in here this morning. I looked at Doug and Lisa's little kids. I looked at Tammy and Steve, little kids out there on the table, and all the little children. I thought, Lord, I saw Elizabeth up here, a young lady now, and I thought, well, I've had memories of her. And they come pulling in down there in that rest area in Tennessee, and she's in that back seat of that car. Me and Miss Hall pulled in. Son, she is ready to go in that car and go with Poppy and Deucey, buddy. I've got some memories that go a long way back with my family. Yes. Memories I wouldn't trade for all the money in the world. I'm just being honest with you. And you've got one thing when you get ready to die is memories of the past. But there's a second thing you've got. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've not only got memories of the past, you've got hope for the future.
Amen.
Thank God you don't have to lay that dead body, that loved one in the grave without any hope. Thank God if we believe in the resurrection of the dead, when that body is laid down, saved by the grace of God, we've got a hope. Oh, we got a hope. They're going to get up. Thank God, yes. Mom and dad is going to get up. Brother and sister is going to get up. Son and daughter is going to get up. Amen. Uncles, cousins, and aunts that saved by the grace of God, they're going to get up.
Amen.
There's some hope. Amen. There is a blessed hope of His glorious appearing. When this body gets up again, shakes the dust off its burial shroud, sings all five stanzas, and they are five of them, of amazing grace.
Amen.
That saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein.
Amen.
We might even pitch in and sing, oh, I want to see Him. Amen. And look upon His face. We might even sing a little bit of crown Him Lord of all.
Amen.
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 Crown Him. Crown Him. He's Lord of all. Crown Him today.
Amen.
There's not another like Him. He died and rose. Not another had ever done that before. Died and took His own life again. Nobody else has ever done that.
Amen.
But do you realize that we've got another account? When He arose, the bodies of the saints arose also. Old Testament saints got up out of the grave. But there's comfort for you and I when we lay a loved one in the grave. I could give personal accounts on that. I won't. What about Lazarus? They laid him in the grave. Mary and Martha wailed and wept and cried. But all Jesus had to do was walk around in front of that tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. And their mourning was turned to joy. Now I'm going to tell you what, it's just folks' life is just a bat of the eyeball. Take my word for it. It's just a blink of the eye. And it's going to be gone. Amen.
Amen.
And those loved ones that have died in Christ and got a blessed hope,
amen.
I'm telling you, hey, we're gonna see them. Like Mary and Martha saw Lazarus, we're going to see him get up out of that grave. Oh, glory be to His wonderful name. Because He lives, we're going to live also. We have consolation at the coming of Christ. And when He calls, our bodies are going to get up out of the grave. But the dead, those that are dead, those that are lost, they're another 1,007 years they'll lay in that dirt.
Amen.
Then they'll only get up for a season to be judged. And then they'll be cast into hell, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir.
What consolation.
Yes.
Then we've got a confirmation of glorification. Amen. Not a new body, but a glorified one. Somebody said, now, preacher, where do you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to read it to you. Such a wonderful verse of Scripture over in Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see it.
Amen.
But Jesus
sees me glorified. I wonder how I look in His eyes. You realize one of these days we're going to look at each other and we're all going to be glorified and we're going to marvel. That'll be, oh, what glory when we marvel at what Christ through grace has done to change our old vile, wretched soul of sin and ungodliness into a pure and a holy and a righteous new creation. And then to see the transformation of this body into a glorified body. And as Daniel said, we'll shine like the stars in the firmament of heaven. Whoa, what glory. Thank God, what glory. Here is the point of it. Because He's glorified, we're going to be glorified also. Hallelujah. Oh, what we'll see each other as Christ sees us right now. He sees you complete, a finished product. All you're looking at is a rough display. But Jesus sees the finished product rolling off the assembly line. Now, if I can use it this, everybody knows what a cocoon is. You've seen them cocoons. Inside them cocoons, hanging on them little trees, things. You know what's inside of them? A little worm. A little worm. A caterpillar. A little worm. But soon that thing comes out of that cocoon, that little caterpillar does, and what takes place is called a metamorphosis. I believe that's right. That little caterpillar all of a sudden begins to change. And that little body he had that had little creepy crawling legs on it, he sprouts wings. And you know what he does? He begins to fly. You know what that little thing that flies is called? A butterfly. Whew. Nothing any prettier than a butterfly. That's exactly what's going to happen to you and I. One of these days, that cocoon! Yeah. It's going to come crawling out of its old body! Amen! And it's going to be a beautiful, glorified, if I can say, butterflied body. Amen. It's like Jesus. Then I want to say this. What great assurance that you and I have in being resurrected. Romans 6, 8 through 10 says, now if we be dead with Christ, there it is, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. And folks, if He died once, you can mark it down in your little book. That's all we're going to die. One time. John is perfectly clear about that when he said, those that are saved, the second death hath no power over them. I'm glad I'm saved this morning, friend. That's right. I could walk right out off here, let me right out on the fiery brimstone edge of hell. Or look at the grave and say, oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, sin, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy something other? Huh? Victory. But thanks be unto God,
amen,
who giveth us the victory. Who?
Amen.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Have you got that victory today? Are you saved? Do you know you're going to get up?
Amen.
I know. I'm not hoping. I know. I'm going to get up. Are you going to get up?
Amen.
Or are you going to get up to everlasting shame and contempt? Let's stand together.